This is Lewis Rogers, and welcome to The Real Estate Show. Today we have our favorite guest, John McGuire. We call this episode From SEAL Team to Citizen Legislator. Welcome, John.
Hey, good to be here this morning. Thanks for having me, Lewis.
Absolutely. We are broadcasting on 1140 WRVA and their FM affiliate, and you are absolutely the favorite of John Reed, another John Reed. On WRVA, he talks about you every morning.
Well, he does a great job keeping us informed on what's going on in the legislature, that's for sure.
And then my favorite, Jeff Katz. I have a Katz mug.
Oh, Jeff Katz endorsed me for state senate.
No kidding.
Yeah. In fact, he told me on the air, he said, when you get your John McGuire state senate signs, I want the first one in my yard. So I drove over there and put it in his yard and got a picture.
Right there in Hanover.
Yep. I didn't know he lived there. I was knocking doors in the neighborhood. And, you know, I assumed no one would know me in this neighborhood, and several people knew me, either from politics or my SEAL Team PT company. And then I get to his door, and I'm like, I didn't know you live here.
Absolutely.
And here's the funny thing.
He's a funny guy.
But he's a law enforcement officer. He's a patriot. He loves our country. So here's the thing. I told him I was hungry, so he said, you should go to this barbecue place right down the road.
Jake's place.
And I wouldn't know anybody, so I go there to get a barbecue, and the owner, Wendy, comes up to me. And she goes, Instructor McGuire.
Oh, no way.
I'm serious.
She'd been in your class?
She said, 15 years ago, I did your class. It was the best fitness class ever. So she took one of my yard signs as well and said she's supporting me for state senate.
No kidding.
It's a small world, isn't it?
It's a very small world. This is, my favorite story. The veteran's status on the driver's licenses. Now, give us the long version of this one. It's so good.
Oh, it's kind of funny, I think. So, again, this is another idea when I'm knocking on doors. People said, I wish you'd fix that veteran ID problem. And I said, well, what is that? And they said, well, everybody has one ID, their driver's license, to prove who they are. But veterans have to carry two or three forms of ID to prove they're a veteran. Huh. So they had a DD-214 to carry with them. Otherwise, how do I know you're a veteran? Or they had a veteran's ID card and their driver's license. They're always carrying three forms to prove it. And it wasn't my idea. When I knocked on doors, veterans said that you should put the word veteran on a driver's license. And then you just have one ID like everybody else. Sounds like common sense.
Just to check the box on your driver's license?
Yeah, you would think. But, I've learned in politics, not everything follows common sense. In fact, I often say that if the government was a business, we'd be out of business.
Yes.
So it wasn't my idea. It was from knocking on doors. And so when I got elected, I went to the Republican caucus and said, hey, I'm going to work on the veteran ID. And they said, John, we've already tried that. Which I thought was their way. They were being friendly, but I thought it was their way of saying you can't do it. So I said, well, I'm going to get 100 co-patrons, and I'm going to get it done. And when I said that, the whole room laughed at the same time.
100. You have 100 colleagues. Well, there's 100. That's everybody, right?
100 members of the House of Delegates, 40 in the state Senate.
Okay.
So I told them I was going to get 100 co-patrons, partners, and I'm going to bring everybody together like a team and get it done. And the whole room laughed at me. So I looked around the room and I said, what's so funny? They said, John, in 400 years, no one's ever had 100 co-patrons. They normally get...
100 years?
Yeah, they said they normally get two. If they're lucky, they get five. Well, it took me 4 weeks. I caught people in the elevator. I call them in the parking deck. I stay outside their office till 10:30.
You're stalking them.
And they would say, you're still here? And I was like, yeah, I need the signature. Some of them would sign it and say, I'll sign it, but it won't pass. The speaker said the Navy SEAL guy's jumping out of the bushes getting signature.
Why would anyone object? It's
Which
just
I,
a good
I
thing.
Know, I know, I know. It's government, you know, power and control. So it took me 4 weeks. I got 140 signatures.
140.
I got all
100%.
I got all the delegates. I got all the senators. And we passed that bill, and a senator who had been down there for years came into my office and said, how the heck did you pass that bill? And I said, well, what are you talking about? He goes, I spent years on that. The difference is a good leader brings people together and leads them to a better place. This idea of dividing us, and I'm better than you, and I think if you treat people with respect and you bring them together, you can get things done. And so it's really, you know, it's another story where they said you couldn't do this. Hey, sure, it took a lot of work. And I think...
Who would object to helping a veteran?
You know what I think it was? I think it was personalities, too.
Okay.
And I don't want to get too much into the weeds here, but there was one particular guy who would make the final decision. And it would be like if someone went to your home that you didn't know and said, I don't like your sofa there. I want your sofa over here. Yeah. You would say, this is my home. You don't tell me where to put my sofa.
It's my house.
So I found out who that person was. And I went to his office, and I was going to be there for 3 hours until I got a yes. So 15 minutes into it, we're talking about the weather and everything. And then I said, hey, you know, we really need to get this veteran ID on a driver's license. He's like, nope, not going to do it. So we talked about a few other things. And then I kind of circled back. And finally, he's like, you know, maybe we could find a way to get it done. So I think that if you
just want him over,
I think if you want respect, you need to give respect. And this idea that I'm smarter than you, tougher than you. Now, I'm certainly confident. If someone thinks I'm not confident, they don't know me very well. But I also know, Lewis, you have a lot of experiences and abilities and skill sets that I don't have. So if I work with you in a respectful way, you're more likely to share those experiences. But if I come in there and say, hey, I'm the delegate and you're going to do it my way, for 8 years, you're not going to get the problem done. So I think that I'm bringing a perspective to politics of, you know, firm but respectful leadership.
It's a great, great story for being a citizen legislator. It's a great story for life. I wish our country could operate on that principle versus the divisiveness.
I wish I could tell you I'm a genius, but I'm not. It comes from my SEAL brothers. My SEAL mentors taught me a lot about life and, you know, really gave me a sense of family that I was kind of missing.
It's so many accomplishments. Just one more. The situation in Loudoun that actually propelled Glenn Youngkin into becoming our governor. I understand you're working on a bill for that. What's the right word? Predators?
Well, I kind of come up with sarcastic names for bills that don't make sense to me. For example, it used to be that police officers could serve a warrant 24/7.
Okay.
Any time of the day, darkness, light, whatever's going to be most safe for the community and the officer. But the Democrats, a couple of years ago, passed a bill. I call it the Give a Criminal a Good Night's Sleep bill.
Oh, you're not going to wake them up?
You can't serve a warrant.
What if they're a murderer?
You cannot serve a warrant unless it's daylight hours, which anybody with a brain would say that's ridiculous. Why would you give criminals the advantage?
So they just...
I don't want to get too political on your show, but the theme for the last 2 years under one-party Democrat rule has been police are bad, criminals are good, and no one cares about the victims. Now, this bill you're talking about is House
Bill... For
children. Well, yeah. So this bill you're talking about is House Bill 257.
Yes.
And what it did was it took away the job of police officers and gave it that authority to school superintendents. So I nicknamed this bill, House Bill 257, the Predator Protection Act.
Yes.
Because you would agree that a predator would stalk, and this bill would allow school superintendents to cover up or not report stalking.
They did, right? The kid did it a second time.
Absolutely. It also allows you to cover up abduction. So abduction, stalking, and sexual battery are what predators do. And it allowed them to cover it up, so I call it the Predator Protection Act, which makes them mad every time I say that. But that's what a predator does, right? And so, believe it or not, some Republicans actually voted for this crazy bill. And so what happened is this boy went into a girl's bathroom, assaulted her, and then they moved him to another school, and he did it again. And with the crazy things, you know who went to jail? The father of the first girl that was attacked, because he went to a school board meeting.
Protecting the honor of his child.
And they wouldn't let him speak, so he started yelling and screaming at him, and they locked him up. Tell me that our country's not in trouble. But I know God gets the last word, and that's why I'm fighting. Like I said, I'm in the fight. And so my first bill I put in this year was to repeal that. And we've got a version of it that's not as good as we would want, but it's a step in the right direction.
That's a lot of accomplishments.
Well, big team effort.
Congratulations there. You live in which county?
I live in Goochland County.
And Goochland's kind of funny. You go through Hanover and then Ryko and Goochland, and it's all right there. But there's been a lot of funny business with redistricting. Has that impacted you?
Every 10 years, they have a census, and what they have to do is they have to divide. In the House of Delegates, for example, they have 100 slices or districts, and they have to have equal representation.
Okay.
So for the past 5 years, I've represented District 56 in the House of Delegates, which is about 84,000 people.
Okay.
So every district should have about 84,000 people, but as people leave Virginia or the population grows, they have to redistrict every 10 years to make sure everybody has the same amount of people in each district. So redistricting came out in December, and for some miraculous accidental reason, my district was chopped into five pieces.
So you're supposed to move into five different houses?
Well, what it means is next year, the district that I represent right now will be represented by five different members of the House of Delegates. Now, I'm not going to whine and complain because I'll fight on whatever battlefield.
Sounds like home cooking to break up your district.
I don't know, but it's unusual to have it chopped into five pieces. But I'm not complaining. But, you know, God's got a plan. And I got a phone call instantly saying, John, you should run for that new state Senate seat. It wasn't really my plan, but I do want to continue the fight. And so they put me in this new state Senate seat.
Okay.
It's number 10. And
look at that. You've got almost Louisa, Fluvanna, Buckingham, Appomattox, Amelia, Powhatan, Goochland, and all of Hanover?
Half of it. So it's the western half.
So not Mechanicsville.
Right. So it's Beaver Dam and South Anna.
Cool. And so we're in the South Anna district, so.
You do?
Absolutely. Now you're joining.
I hope you vote for the Frogman.
Absolutely. Vote early and often.
Yeah. So 18% of the district, the voting population is in Hanover. That's the largest population in the Senate District 10. Number two would be Powhatan with 14, and then Louisa, Fluvanna, Goochland. It goes from there.
Okay.
But yeah, so by running for state Senate, it would allow me to continue the fight. Stay in my home. And most of the people that I've represented the last 5 years are in this state Senate seat. So people know who I am. They know my track record. And I have a theme, by the way. So I've trademarked this theme.
Shoot.
So over the last 2 years under Democrat Speaker Eileen Filicorn, they tried to out California in Virginia. And what I mean by that is they infringed on our Second Amendment rights. They made it less safe for abortions. They made abortions easier to get and more often. They just did a whole lot of things. They passed a bill that makes Virginia follow the emission standards of California.
You're kidding.
So if next year California doubles their emissions restrictions, Virginia has to follow California. This is not California. So my theme for this, and there's a whole lot of stuff, my theme is vote for John McGuire so that we can un-California, Virginia. This is Virginia. This is a freedom and common sense and less government, not more government. We want you to live, work, and raise your families in peace. And the unconstitutional mandates, the decisions that they've made have stifled business. You know, if we were to lower the corporate tax, you would bring your business from North Carolina to Virginia.
Sure.
And if we raise the corporate tax, you're going to move your business to North Carolina. So we want to be the most veteran-friendly state. We want to be a place. We want to be the best business-friendly state. We want your kids to be safe. You know, the city of Richmond, Virginia, is down 200-some police officers right now.
200?
220, I think. And precinct number 3, only one officer showed up for duty a couple of months ago.
So crime is
being underreported. But even though crime is being underreported, it's way up. And so we want to keep you safe. And let's talk about that goes back to the kids with this Predator Protection Act. You know, Governor Glenn Youngkin is an amazing governor. I was the first elected official in Virginia to endorse him. The first thing he did when we met, we sat down, we prayed. And he said that children should be taught how to think, not what to think. And I think that helped him win the election.
How to think, not what to think.
Right. He's fighting hard to get politics and divisive ideologies out of the classrooms.
That's what propelled him into, you know, the election.
Oh yeah, I was in Florida for something called CPAC a few weeks ago.
Sure.
And I got an award, one of the highest awards for conservatism, and all the conservative leaders in the United States were there, and Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, all these these political figures were up there speaking, and they were all talking about Virginia. Virginia's on the map now. In fact, I was texting Glenn Yuck, and I said, what state do you think they're talking about the most in Florida right now?
Virginia.
And so, obviously, Glenn Yuck and Winsome Sears, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, Attorney General Jason Meares, and everyone else is a big part of that.
That's the most diverse group, right?
It's very diverse. But, you know, I think that, you know, it should be merit-based. You know, I have no problem with diversity. Diversity of thought is more important to me. And I don't care if you're pink or blue or what. If you're the best person for the job, you're the best person for the job.
And there's only 40 senators.
That's correct.
So it's a little bit, it'll be kind of a different proposition.
It's very similar. So it would be about 200,000 people that you would represent. So right now I represent 4 counties. Running for state senate, I would represent 10 counties.
Okay.
And there, you know, we could get into the minutia, but basically when you have an idea, let's talk about the catalytic converter idea.
Shoot.
So, Stan Andrewski, Jeff Katz say, John, this catalytic converter idea is a bad idea. So all I have to do for an idea is write it on a postcard or type it up on a letter or I can do a professional email. And I take that idea and I give it to legislative services. It's a bunch of lawyers that work in the General Assembly. And what they do is they research the Code of Virginia and figure out where that law should go if we were to pass it and how it should be written.
Okay.
And then it's a draft. And it goes back and forth. And we're like, no, it doesn't do what I want. And they keep tweaking it. And then we get stakeholders. You know, someone like you as a lawyer might say, John, the way it's written won't do exactly what you had planned. Can you tweak it? So you get stakeholders in the room, you get the Virginia Department of Transportation, you get all these people in a room, law enforcement, and you tweak it between now and January. And then you submit that bill, and it goes to it gets assigned to a subcommittee, transportation, for example, education, if it's an education bill. And if it passes the subcommittee, it goes to the full committee. And if it passes the full committee, then it goes to the floor where all 100 members of the House of Delegates vote on it. And if it passes, then it goes over to the Senate, where it goes to their subcommittee, full committee, and their floor.
Start over again?
Well, both sides have to agree on it. And they might say, we like it, but we want to change it. And then you go into conference and you negotiate back and forth until it gets to a point where both sides, the House and the Senate, agree on your idea. And then it goes to the governor where he can pass it or veto it. And so, but at the same time, I have my House of Delegate version of the catalytic converter. The Senate has their version of it if they want.
So you
not
have
always.
To reconcile them into
right.
one bill.
We reconcile. There's not always a companion bill on the other side. But I believe that when you have a companion bill on both sides, you have a better chance of your bill surviving because people are more in tune on what it does.
Who would object to a catalytic converter bill?
Well, I will tell you the theme is criminals are good, police are bad, and no one cares about the victim. So my bill, we made it where it became a felony if you steal catalytic converters.
And it's a $2,500 proposition, right?
I understand, but they watered it down.
Okay, so now it's a misdemeanor?
Yeah, so it's a less egregious, offense.
Well, better to get something passed and then...
Yeah, you get your foot in the door and you come back and make it a little better. But that's why I'm running for state senate. We worked really hard and we got a Republican governor, Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General of the House of Delegates, but the Democrat State Senate is blocking most of all of Glenn Youngkin's agenda. He's got a great agenda. And so if we can win back the State Senate, we could actually un-California Virginia. And so I'm going to work my butt off to make sure I get that State Senate seat and help other state senators win their seat so that we can make these things safer, better, more effective.
Well, that's wonderful. And how's it going? I understand fundraising is a key in the modern world.
Yeah, you could be the best candidate in the world, but if you can't pay for staff and you can't pay for messaging, you're not going to win. And so, I don't know if I can make a plug for that, but...
Make a plug for it.
If your audience would like to help a frogman, the thing about the state senate race is it's like the Wild West. It's unlimited corporate dollars and it's unlimited individual dollars. It's not like federal races where they have like a $2,800 limit. So if you can write a $10 check, I'd appreciate it. The biggest check I've ever received was a $75,000 check. I had a heart attack. I couldn't believe it. But I heard of a guy who wrote a guy a $500,000 check.
Wow.
So it's unlimited, but money is a big deal. So if anyone in your audience wants to help a frogman, I'd appreciate it.
Where do they go to find you and where do they go to make a contribution?
So if you go to my website, it's mcguire4virginia.com.
That's catchy.
Yeah. So it's mcguirefor, and Virginia spelled out .com. There's a red donate button if you click that. If you don't want to pay, donate online, it's got an address where you can write a check and mail it. And it's not my seat. If you guys go into my office in the General Assembly, my wife is my favorite artist and my favorite real estate agent.
Get it a good plug for Tracy.
Yeah, but it's got a, she made me a painting. And the painting says, God first. This seat belongs to the people and stay humble. This is on the wall for me because I'm human. I can get off track. And it focuses me every day. But I think it also focuses you if you come visit me. And I'll tell you how I got the list. When I was knocking doors, I had a yellow notepad, legal pad. And I would ask people, what do you like the most or the least about politicians? And I got 1,000 answers.
A lot of the least, I'll bet. A lot more than most.
But I put them in a pile and they don't put God first. Was number one, so I put that number one. Number two is they forget that the seat belongs to the people. It's your seat, not my seat. And number three, they think they're super important, so stay humble. I'm no better than anyone. I don't care if you own a big company or you're living in a trailer court. I'm going to speak to you and treat everybody the same.
Well, that's a great, that is a wonderful story, and it's words to live by. So you're definitely our favorite Navy SEAL. From a challenging childhood that didn't slow you down any, you were able to make every obstacle into an opportunity. And in the SEALs for how many years?
I did 10 years. I was in London one day, Tokyo the next, around the world twice, now I'm stuck in Virginia.
So you were literally a frequent flyer.
And I'm kidding with you. I love Virginia. the home of presidents.
That is something else. You were a SEAL, and then just having fun, you broke your back and were able to recover from being paralyzed and never walking again. You look like you're walking again.
Yeah, I call it a minor setback. So in October 2006, I was doing a backflip on a trampoline. I landed on my neck. I broke C4. It almost makes me throw up to tell you this, but the bone stabbed my spinal cord. I used to do 20 one-finger pull-ups. I was a much stronger man.
One-finger pull-up.
One finger each hand. I'd do 20 of them, and I'd do pull-ups up to 100 with a 25-pound weight vest. I used to be a lot stronger. Now everybody's whooping my butt, but I'm getting there. But anyway, yeah, they told my wife, Tracy, they said, Mr. McGuire will not make it through the night. And if he does, he'll never use his arms and legs again.
That's a Navy SEAL who spent your life being physical. And that's
yeah, it was very humbling. In fact, but I had a machine so I could breathe, and I was in ICU, and there was screaming going on, and they're like, this woman next to you just died. But the craziest thing, though, is they were telling me I was at my weakest, but I felt like I could lift up a mountain.
How so? Just from your spirit?
Must have been. I just felt like, they're trying to sign away my business, and they're like, he's not going to make it through the night. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I'm going to whoop all y'all's butt in 2 weeks, and then another 2 weeks, and another 2 weeks. But after I was somewhat stable several weeks later, I lost that feeling. But for that short period of time, I just felt like, I could lift up a mountain.
That must have been the spirit.
I think so.
Well, we can all use that spirit, and I hope we can carry that forward and make for a better country. And definitely go and look for McGuire 4 F-O-R.
Yeah, McGuire, F-O-R, Virginia.com. I truly believe God gave me a second chance, and so I'm going to use that second chance to serve the people of Virginia.
It's just such a wonderful example. I wish everyone could experience it. Can they visit you in downtown Richmond?
Yeah, definitely. When we're in session, which is usually January, February, March, or if they want to meet me to discuss legislation or issues, they can certainly contact our office.
That is wonderful. Let us help John get a raise from 17,000 something to 18,000 something. I don't know how you're supposed to live on those wages.
Well, I probably vote no on that. I like less government, less spending. I like what Ronald Reagan said. We need to get the government off of your back and out of your pocket.
I'm with you. Thank you. This is Lewis Rogers, and you're listening to The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. Invest locally. Invest nationally. Invest with Capital Square on a tax advantage basis. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Lewis. Living in the sweet Virginia breeze.
Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only, and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. Living in the sweet Virginia.